Take your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12 is where we're taking some of our reading from this morning. I do ask you to be much in prayer for me as I try to preach what God's laid upon my heart for this Sunday morning. I am so thankful that I can remember the works of Christ's hands in my life. You know, they were singing that song and just the different verses in that song. But I do remember the night that Jesus Christ called my name. I remember laying there in the bed, and I remember him speaking to my heart. Hey, he spoke to my heart a time or two before that when I didn't move. And, you know, as a Christian here this morning, I do understand now. I didn't at that point in time. I understand now that once he called my name the first time, he fulfilled a promise to me. He promised me that he would call my name one time. The other two times that I know that he called my name was grace that he had extended to me. He gave me another opportunity to come and accept him as my personal Savior. And I'm glad that there was a night at 7 years old that I got up and I went and accepted Christ as my Savior. And what I want to ask you here this morning is, do you know without a doubt in your mind that you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior? If you haven't, if he has ever spoken to your heart, he has fulfilled a promise to you. If he speaks to your heart again today, and I believe that he will, it's hard for me to believe that you would be in a church where God's Spirit is dwelling like he is this morning, where other Christians are praying for you. It's hard for me to believe that you would be here in need of salvation and that God wouldn't give you an opportunity and wouldn't speak to you. But if he does this morning, if he has given you that opportunity before and he speaks to your heart again, he is extending grace and another opportunity to you. But don't take that for granted and don't abuse it, because he does not owe you but one chance. He didn't owe that to me. He promised it to me. But if you're here this morning and God speaks to your heart, make today your day of salvation. Make today the day that you can say, I remember the day that Jesus saved me. Exodus chapter number 12. If you will, turn with me there in your Bibles, and let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, God. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. God, I still fight my flesh just like everybody that's here. And God, I ask you to forgive me for the times that I fall and I come short and I fail. And God, let's just be blunt and plain and say the times that I sin, because sometimes I choose the wrong way. God, I ask you to forgive me for those times in my life, God. And God, help me to seek you. God, mold my will into yours. And God, as we're here for a few minutes together as the family here at Fellowship Baptist Church, God, I pray that you'll help us to listen for your voice. God, help us use this time to worship you and to honor you. And God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, God, I pray that before they leave this sanctuary today, before they leave this building, that they will make a decision for you and ask you to forgive them of their sins and to be the Lord of their life. God, we thank you and we praise you for all of the works that you've done in our lives. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Exodus chapter number 12, let's begin reading with verse number 21. As we begin reading this, you're going to see that it's very familiar scripture. I know that I have preached out of this scripture at least one time, if not twice, since I've been preaching here, and probably 7 or 8 times since I've announced my call to preach. But it seems like God spoke to my heart with this message this morning. Probably won't be before you very long, but let's just concentrate for a few minutes and let everything else go and see what God has for us. Exodus chapter number 12, let's begin reading with verse number 21. The Bible says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. Well, hang on a minute. We got to understand where we're at. So as we get into Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 21, we know that the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt. We know that they have been there for years, and now God has decided that he's going to deliver his children, and he has decided to use Moses to deliver his children out of the slavery in Egypt. And Moses has gone, I'm going to skip a whole bunch of details right here. So if you want to go back and read this story in the Bible, feel free in Exodus. And as Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he goes to him several different times, and there's several different things that God brings upon the Egyptian people to try to convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. There was plague after plague, different things. I'm not going to get into all of those. We're going to talk about one this morning. But as Pharaoh's heart is hardened, as Pharaoh decides that he's not going to let the children of Israel go, God continues to try to change his mind. God continues to bring things in his life so that he may change his mind and let the children of Israel go. So here, as we come to Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 21, we are at the last step. This is the last straw. God is going to use this to try and convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. However, Pharaoh's heart has already been hardened. God already knows that Pharaoh is not going to conform to what he needs to do right here. So in verse number 21, Moses is telling us what's getting ready to happen. So as we get to verse number 21, Moses has already been to Pharaoh. He has already told Pharaoh, listen, this night, the firstborn of everything in Egypt, of every human, of every cattle, of everything in Egypt, the firstborn is going to die. And God is bringing this so that you will decide to let the children of Israel go. But again, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened, and he's already said no. So in verse number 21, Moses, let's get into the reading. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. He's going to let Israel know what's going to happen. And said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. He says, now listen, here's what's going to happen. The firstborn of everything in Egypt is going to be killed. But here's what you do. You take and you kill a lamb and you put the blood on the side post and on the lintel of your door. And once you do that, you go in your house and you don't come out. Verse number 23, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. Moses says, if you'll do what I tell you to, and you'll kill your lamb, and you'll put the blood on the lintel and on the side post of your door, that when this happens tonight, when the death angel appears, that they will pass over your house, and you shall not lose your firstborn. Let's jump down to verse number 29. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Can I say to you this morning, even as we're reading this scripture, and even as a sad situation that this seems to be, that when God says he's going to do something, that you can bank on it, that you don't have to prove it by anybody else, that you don't have to fact check it, you don't have to do anything else. If God says he's going to do something, he does it. And in the previous verses before 21, he had told Pharaoh that this is what's going to happen. He said, in my words, death is coming. Moses, you go and you tell Pharaoh that death is coming. And then he said, but I want you to tell the children of Israel, this is their escape. This is how they keep death from coming in their life. In verse number 29, again we see, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all of the firstborn. As sure as God told Pharaoh that death is coming, death came. As sure as God tells us in our life that death is coming, death is coming. There is no escaping death. There is no cheating death. Death is coming in our lives. Verse number 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. God did exactly what he told Pharaoh he was going to do. And at midnight, there was a great cry in Egypt. And the death that had been told was coming came, and the firstborn in Egypt died. As we look into the scripture tonight, or this morning, we can see in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, that the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 8, the Bible speaks of a pale horse. And the Bible says, and he that sat on that pale horse, his name was Death. It's almost as if the day that I was born, that death has been on my trail. That death is trying to catch me. That death is sure to come in my life. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to face death. We don't like to go through death, but it is an absolute fact in our life that death is coming and that death will catch us. At some time in my life, along my trail of life, if you will, this death on this pale gray horse is going to catch me. And at some time or the other, I will face death. Just as sure as Pharaoh told, as Moses told Pharaoh that death was coming, he has also told us, also in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, you can go to verse number 3 and you can see where David says, this is where King Saul is after him, and David says, there is but a step between me and death. You see, the bad thing about death is we never know when death is going to catch us. We never know when our last step is going to be. We never know what day that we are going to go through death, when someone that we love is going to go through death. And that is the reason that death is something that we must take very serious. I was down visiting with Tim Miller, I believe it was Thursday night, and he was fixing to have surgery on Saturday morning. And he looked at me and he says, don't get me wrong, I am ready to go, I just don't want to go tonight. And you know, ain't that the way that we all are? We push death to the back of our minds. We push death to the side. Hey, just this past week, I did go play basketball with the church league one day last week. I can't remember what day it was. Maybe it was Monday night. Look, this fat boy hadn't run up and down the court in a long time. And I went a couple of times with him this season, but it had been a little while. And as I went and played with him last Monday, Tuesday when I got to work, I was like this. I mean, I actually told some of the guys, I said, there's something bad wrong. I don't know what it is, but I am hurting, right? I don't know how you hurt in this area. But I said, I'm hurting right here. There's something bad wrong. I'm going to have to. Hey, it's just getting old, and it's just death getting one step closer, one step closer. And we try to put it to the back of our mind. And I had already decided I'm not going to the doctor. If I'm dying, if there's something wrong, I don't want to know it. I'm just going to keep right on getting it. That's tough guy talking. My wife would have took me by the ear and drug me to the doctor if there was really something going on. But death creeps closer and closer and closer to us. And as we get older, nowadays in my life, when something hurts, used to when I was younger and something hurt, I didn't pay it much attention. I'd put a little ice on it. I might rub it a time or two and I would go on. Now my first thought is, oh, Lord, how serious is this? What is going on? I'm not one of those people that runs to the doctor over everything. But I'm to the place now I go, okay, what's wrong with me? What could this possibly be? Death is going to catch us. And we put death to the back of our mind. We don't want to think about it. And just as Pharaoh did right here, sometimes we ignore the fact that death is coming. I really expected y'all to hallelujah. No, we don't hallelujah death, do we? We don't want to think about death. Death is not something that we celebrate. It's not something that we look at and we go, man, I just can't wait. I don't know how many buses will leave today for death, but I don't want to be on any of them. Verse number 23, though, let me show you something. As Pharaoh is told that death is coming, and as Pharaoh completely ignores death, I'm going to ask you this morning, please do not ignore death. This is not one of those hallelujah, praise the Lord messages yet. But as we sit here this morning, please take into your mind and into your thoughts and into your heart that one day we all will face death. And then as we get into verse number 23, I want us to look at something. As Moses goes to Pharaoh and tells him that death is coming, and then he goes to the children of Israel and says, but here's what you do. Verse number 23, it says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. See, this death that we've been talking about this morning, it is a flesh physical death. My body is going to die. This body I am going to lay down at some point in time. It's going to give out. There's going to be an accident that happens. There's going to be tragedy that strikes. Something is going to end my physical fleshly life here on this earth. But I'm glad this morning that just as Moses looked at the children of Israel and said, death is coming, but here's what you do. Here's how you prepare for that. Because the children of Israel, they wasn't going to be punished for what God was trying to do in their lives. So he looked at them and he said, here's what you do. Death is coming, but if you want to escape death, let me tell you what you do. You get the blood applied to your side post and to your lintel. Now this morning, I want to tell you something. You may be here this morning and you may be with me and you understand that your physical fleshly body is going to die sometime, that your physical life is going to end, that something is going to take you out of this world. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if the blood has been applied to your life, you're going to live forever and forever and forever. You have eternal life this morning. You don't have to be afraid of death. Hey, I'm just like Tim Miller. I don't have any desire to die today. Probably if I got one glimpse of heaven, I'd probably say, yeah, let's go. I'm ready to go. But see, I haven't been given that glimpse. So all the thing I know is here, and God has given me a good, blessed life here, and I want to stay, see my children grow up, be part of Fellowship Baptist Church, see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But even though my physical life is going to end one day, I want to tell you that at the age of 7, when the blood was applied to my heart, when the blood came into my life, that day I received everlasting life. I will never die spiritually. We have victory over death this morning. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've got life eternal this morning if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you're here and you're lost this morning, you do not have that promise. You do not have everlasting life. But just as Moses went to the children of Israel and said, you get the blood applied and you can live. You get the blood applied and death will not come to your house. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you get the blood applied to your life and to your heart, and you can have the same everlasting life that I do this morning. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 54 and verse number 55. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought this to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is not something we like to think about because, I don't know, some of you may have been there before, but I've never been there. I have never seen death. I have never faced death. It's an unknown. I do not like unknown things in my life. I like to know what's out in front of me. And death is something we don't know anything about. And I'm not afraid to die spiritually, but can I stand here and tell you this morning that there's not something about me that just goes, I'm looking forward to dying? No, because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be to go through that. But can I tell you also this morning, as Christian believers that have had the blood applied to our lives, that we will not feel the sting of death, that we have victory over death. Also, John chapter number 10, verse number 28. Excuse me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm glad also that that blood, it gave me eternal life, and it gave me the ability to be secure in the hands of my Savior. That this morning, I don't have to worry about somebody plucking me out of his hands. I don't have to worry about some surprise coming to God in my life. God knows what's in my future. He knows what's into my tomorrow. Hey, can I go ahead and tell you this also, that he knows when I'm going to die. It's not a surprise to him whatsoever, but he paid the price a long time ago that I don't have to die spiritually, that I do have everlasting life this morning. But also, let's look at something else. The blood, if it's been applied, will give you everlasting life. It will give you eternal life. It will help you to dodge. It will keep you safe from death that is coming to us. But let's go into Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 31. Let's continue reading. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent, and the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up, and their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them so much things as they had required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Also, not only will the blood that's being applied to my life, will it keep me from death? Will it give me victory over death? Will it not? It'll get me to the place that, yes, my physical body will lay down, but I have spiritual victory over death this morning. But also, I want to let you know that when that blood is applied to your life, that you are set free. I want you to look. The children of Israel had been in bondage for years and years under the Egyptians. Pharaoh had worked them. They had built things. They had done all of this work every single day, being slaves under Pharaoh, under the wrong master. And I'm sure they had tried to think, how do we get free? How do we get away from this? How do we get a different life than what we've got right now? And what it took was the blood. Because as you look, as the death angel came that night, as the death angel came and it passed over all of the houses of the children of Israel, but the firstborn in the houses of the Egyptians were taken, they were killed that night, that Pharaoh was so shook up, that Pharaoh was so tore up that he went to Moses and he said, you get your people and you get out of here. You get out of here quick. We are very urgent about you leaving us. You get out of here. You be set free. You go make your own life. Now, we know the story goes a little different here in a minute, but we're not going to get into that. I want us to look at that's what it took. It took the blood for the children of Israel to be set free. This morning, you may be here and you may be in bondage. You may be in bondage to sin. You may have addictions in your life that you're in bondage to. There may be burdens emotions. There may be heartbreak. There may be something in your life that is keeping you in bondage. There may be something that is holding you back, that is keeping you from feeling free. I want you to know that if we as Christians will realize the blood and the power that the blood has in our life, that we can be set free from anything that's holding us. We can be set free from anything that is shackling us, from anything that is trying to pull us back. I want you to know that at the age of 7, when the blood was applied to my life, that God set me free from all of those things. Some of those I have put back on. I have picked up and I have said, I'm going to let this bind me. I'm going to let this hold me. I'm going to let this be my burden. And I have done that myself. But I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free from all of that. If we'll just realize that there is power in the blood. This morning as we got in the car, Silas, I don't know, he goes around singing all the time. And I was like, God, is this what you want me to preach? You know, I'm always looking for that confirmation. And Silas said only 2 or 3 phrases of a song. He didn't even get to the best part of it. But he just got in the car and said, there is power, power. And I'm thinking, in the blood, that's where it's at, brother. I'm going to tell you right now that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ that will set you free from anything that you're facing in your life. It'll forgive you from the sin that's keeping you in bondage. It'll set you free from your heartaches, from your shame, from your guilt, from the pressure of the problems. Your problems are not going to go away, but once that blood is applied to your life, you will know where to take your problems to. Here, the children of Israel, they're finally set free because of the blood. They're finally in a place that they have escaped death from the death angel. They have been set free from Pharaoh. They are now free from the slavery. Hannah, if you will, come get ready to give us an invitational hymn. Told you I wouldn't be very long this morning. My question to you this morning is, let's look at 2 responses that were given at daylight. The Bible tells us that at midnight there was a great cry. At midnight there was a great cry. The death angel came through. Now look, there was one of 2 responses. Church, if we'll cue into this right here, not because I'm saying it, because this is true, this will bless you. There was 2 responses. The first response was from the children of Israel. As they walked out and they had heard, no doubt they had heard the death cry. No doubt they had heard just the pain and the agony from the Egyptians. Through the night, hearing mother after mother losing their firstborn. After hearing the pain and them being kept safe from that, can you imagine? Remember, the Bible told us that as they put the blood on the lintel and on the side post, he said, you don't come out. Don't you come out till morning. But can you imagine after hearing that all night long, knowing what great heartache, great pain had come, knowing what had happened that night, that death had visited, and as they come out and their family is safe, as they come out and their firstborns are still living, can you imagine as they come out of their house, daybreak has finally come. They come around and they see the blood that's still there on the side post. They see the blood that is still there. Can you imagine what it felt like? I'm sure they went out there saying, I'm going to put this in today's language. They went out there saying, God, thank you for my brick home. They went out there saying, God, thank you for my cars that's in my driveway. They went out there saying, God, thank you for this or my finances. I guarantee you that they hit their knees. I guarantee that they turned around and looked and they just said, God, well, I want to thank you for the blood. God, I want to thank you for supplying us with an out from death. I want to thank you for supplying us with something that will set us free. This morning, we as Christians, hey, God has blessed our life so much that we get our eyes on the blessings. We get our eyes on the physical things that God's given us. But can we just for a minute just look and say, God, I want to thank you for the blood. I want to thank you for looking at me, one of your sinners. God, that you created, that I failed and I come short. There's nothing holy about me. There's nothing about me that deserves to stand here this morning. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But God, I want to thank you for the blood, that you love me so much, that you allowed your son to come and die on a rugged cross and shed that blood for me. And because of that, I have victory over death. I have been set free from my shame and my guilt. God, I want to thank you for the blood this morning. One response was, God, thank you for the blood. Hey, I spend time sometimes saying, God, thank you for this, and God, thank you for that. But I spend nowhere near enough time saying, God, I want to thank you for the blood. I want to thank you for shedding that for me, for forgiving me of my sins. But can I also tell you that there was another reaction that morning? There was people in Egypt that walked out after death had come, And they looked, and I said, I wished we had had the blood applied. I wished that we had had that. I wish my son's dead. My firstborn is dead. I'd give anything if I had had the blood applied. There are people standing before God right now, this very moment, that would give anything if they had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their life. There are people right now, hey, this is real. It's not a fairy tale. Hey, I've heard it since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, been in church all my life. And sometimes we hear it so much that we're desensitized to it. Sometimes we hear it so much that it does become more of a story. But can I tell you that this morning there is people standing before God and either their name's found and the blood's been applied or it's not? Where are you at this morning? As we sit here in Fellowship Baptist Church, as God is speaking, as God is moving, is the blood been applied? If you're here and you're a Christian and the blood's been applied to your life, how long has it been since you just said, God, I want to thank you for the blood and just worshiped him and gave him glory and praise? How long has it been since we did that? If you're here this morning and you're lost without Christ, don't stand before God and say, I wished I'd had the blood applied. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have never accepted him. The blood has not been applied to my life. Preacher, I'm not really even sure I understand what you're saying. Really quick. For the blood to be applied to your life, the only thing that you need to know is that you're a sinner. The only thing that you need to know is that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And you have to say, God, I accept what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. Will you forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and save me? Preacher, I have never did that, but I don't want to stand before God and say I wish that I did. I don't want to stand before God in a lost condition. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I can come up there today. I don't know that I'm going to get saved today. But preacher, will you just pray for me? I don't want to stand before God lost. Preacher, I'm here and I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm taking the blood for granted. I'm thankful for a whole lot of things, but it's been a while since I just said, God, I want to thank you for the blood. God, preacher, my life may not be lined up just exactly where it needs to be, and I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand, let me pray for you. I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand. Hands all over the congregation. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do for us. God, I want to thank you for your spirit that's moving here this morning. God, help us as Christians not to take the blood for granted. Thank you for giving us escape from death, from judgment, God. God, and thank you for setting us free from all the things that this world throws at us that tries to bind us up. Now, God, I pray that you'll take the remainder of this invitation. God, I pray that you'll help us as Christians maybe to come and give you glory, to worship you. And God, I still pray if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day to come to know you as their Savior. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.